Good morning, friends. Do you know why you're here? Because it's cold outside? Okay. Maybe more than that. Do you know why you're here? Do you recognize this term? Someone came in and saw this slide this morning saying, I don't do French. Sorry. It won't be long. Do you know your raison d'être? How's my pronunciation? Not bad? Okay. Got a thumbs up from Wendy. Thank you. Do you know your reason for existing? Do you really know why you're here? Now, this may sound very deep and philosophical, but it's quite practical. Because if we don't understand why we're here, then our life essentially will have no meaning or purpose, and we'll just go through life not even living. We'll just go through life existing. My great grandfather, Robert McKinley, got off the boat in Canada about 150 years ago. And he brought with him his faith. He was a staunch Presbyterian. Being a Scottish guy, he would be Presbyterian. And one of the things that has been preserved with some of the hand-me-downs of our ancestors has been a copy of a little book called The Westminster Shorter Catechism, and that's something all good Presbyterians go through. It's a way of passing on Christian faith and beliefs, and it's a series of questions and answers. And the first question of the Westminster Shorter Catechism is this: what is the chief end of man? I'll translate that for you. What are we here for? What's our purpose? What is the chief end of man? And this is what the Westminster Shorter Catechism replies: the chief end of man, why we're here, is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Period. I don't remember any of the rest of it because I didn't go through the catechism, but I love this first statement because it means this in essence is why we're here: to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Now that sounds a little bit airy-fairy, but I think it's immensely practical, and we're going to unpack that this morning, our raison d'etre, our reason for living. The first thing I want to emphasize, and this is not to be taken for granted, because many people outside of this building, and even some of us inside this building, might have a question with this first statement. But I would propose to you that the Bible states, God states, we are designed amazingly by our Creator. Amazingly. Psalm 139, verse 14 says, thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. We get our identity from who has made us. We get our value from our Creator. People like labels in society, right? They talk about hyphenated Canadians. We might be we might be Filipino hyphen Canadians, we might be African hyphen Canadians, we might be Scottish hyphen Canadians. We like to label people because it gives us a context, it helps us know where we fit people in. Now, sometimes this can be helpful, other times it can just put up walls, because we look at people and we evaluate them fairly quickly based on their appearance, what they're wearing, maybe what they drive or what they don't drive, or where they live or what they do for an occupation, and we know how to slot people. And we assign, consciously or unconsciously, values to those categories. Oh, you're such and such. Well, you must be of much more value or much more impressive than someone who does this particular thing, or this someone who lives in this neighborhood. We do that consciously or unconsciously. But we don't get our value from exterior things. We don't get our value from our resumes, our bank balances, our personal addresses. We don't get our value from that. We get our value intrinsically from our Creator. Let me read you a quote from one of my favorite writers, C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis said, "We are what we believe we are. The Christian worldview holds that our identity is not derived but from what has made us, but rather from who has made us. We're not chemical or cosmic accidents scratching out an existence. We are not more highly evolved animals who lucked out in the gene pool. We are created by a loving and personal God that God placed into each and every person intrinsic worth, an indelible identity in the ability to give and receive love from one another. When a person comes to God, there's no need to present a resume or a trophy case or a financial statement. God sees past the identity that has been embellished by accomplishments or shattered by failures. God knows and sees who we truly are, and God invites us to bring ourselves, our true selves, to the one who knows us and actually gave his life for us. So we're designed intentionally by our Creator. How many people have ever had a preschooler give them a piece of artwork to put on the fridge? Your parents or grandparents? Okay. All right. Now, let me give you a couple of tips as an experienced parent. When they come and bring it to you, don't ask, what is it? Okay, because that's insulting the artist. It's perfectly obvious to them what it is. And if you don't understand it, what you can do, here's a little tip. Tell me about your picture, okay? Because in there, hopefully, you can say, what the dickens? Oh, beautiful. It's very colorful. I've never seen anything like that before. Anyway, be positive, okay? Now, so you get this piece of artwork that will ultimately be destined for your fridge or some important place, right? Now, what would happen if the preschooler goes away and you crumple it up and throw it into the garbage and they come back and say, where's my picture? What would happen? What would that say about the Creator and the creation that you've received? Right? You'd be tremendously devaluing the Creator by devaluing the creation. Right? In a similar way, when we devalue people by just looking on the exterior and literally crumpling them up and writing them off, we are both devaluing the creation and the Creator, right? So this is eminently practical, this point. We are designed amazingly by our Creator. We are not genetic mistakes. We're not just the result of some random collision of molecules over time, over time, over time. And if you're interested, I can show you the math. Honestly, we are not here as a result of blind chance. I would bet my house, my life, everything on that statement. We are not here as a result of blind chance. We are designed amazingly by our Creator. And do you know where I learned this? In university, studying science. Not theology, studying science. Can't emphasize this enough. So because we have this intrinsic value, we have this intrinsic value given to us by our Creator, what's next? We're not just set up, God just didn't set up the planet and get it spinning and admire his handiwork. We are loved fiercely. Fiercely by our Creator. I chose that word very carefully because that's how God, our Father, he's revealed himself to us as our Father. That's how he feels about us. There's a blessing in the Old Testament. It's in Numbers, and it talks about asking God to let his face shine upon us. May the Lord's face shine upon you. And I thought about this. It also shows up in Psalm 67. May God be merciful to us and bless us. May his face smile with favor on us. What does that mean? What does it mean for God's face to shine with favor on us? I want you to observe carefully. We've got some newborn babies here at Elim. Some of them aren't here today, but there's a lot more. And some of them are, there's always more on the way, which is great, which is really exciting. But when you watch a parent with a newborn baby, when that baby's awake, praise the Lord. I mean, praise God when they sleep. It's beautiful. Nothing more beautiful than a sleeping, soundly sleeping baby. It's awesome, especially when you're the sleep-deprived parent. And I know early in our paranoia, we go in and make sure they still You just want to see their little chest move a little bit. It's so quiet, but it's a beautiful thing. Now, but when the baby's awake, that's even better. Because what does the baby do? A loving parent holds the baby and just looks at the baby, and the baby looks back. And typically, what do theoretically mature adults do when they hold a newborn? They go all goofy, don't they? They go, oh, do-do-da-da-da-da. And they do all kinds of things that if they talk to you and another adult like that, they'd be going, whew. You know? You think you're acting quite irrationally. But we get all thrilled and we try to communicate with those little beings and we do anything to kind of elicit a response and get that kid's face to light up. Studies have shown that's how babies establish trust with parents. So that literally, that what we call FaceTime, Apple didn't invent FaceTime. God invented FaceTime. That FaceTime is so important to establish trust, a feeling of trust with a child. That's how God, our Creator, feels about us. He's so passionate about us. May His face smile with favor on us. May His face shine on us. That's how God feels about us. When He looks at you. Now, I want this to, Lord, I pray this would, this is important for our brains to understand, but I pray that our spirits would understand this today. I want to speak a prophetic word over us today. I feel like God wants us to know that His face is shining over each one of us today. I'm not trying to, well, I am trying to engage your emotions, but I'm not engaging in emotionalism, a warm, fuzzy Kodak moment. But Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I pray that You would connect with every searching heart today and reveal to them in Jesus' name, reveal to all of us, that God's face is shining on us and He loves us fiercely. God loves us fiercely. He has been tracking each one of us through our lives. He was with us even before we were conceived in our mother's womb, before we started developing. He was with us at 3 months and 6 months and delivery. He was with us. He was with us growing up. He was with us yesterday. He's with us today, and He will be with us tomorrow. And His face is shining on us. And His desire is to elicit a response in us, a response to His love. And there's something amazing about that. When you hold a baby, there's kind of a feedback loop. The kid smiles, and what do you want to do? Do you scowl at them? That's enough. That's enough emotion right now, kid. Shut it down. No, you smile back. And chances are they will smile more. And there's a sense of delight and warmth and love that you get just at looking at a baby and them looking back at you. That's how we are hardwired for connection. And we are hardwired for connection with our Creator. That's why the psalmist says, may God be merciful and bless us. May His face smile with favor on us. Now, this is great to remember when things are going relatively well. But when life goes into the dumpster, the bottom of the dumpster, where it's smelly and gross, and you don't want to be there, it is so important to remember that God is smiling with favor on us. And He's likely not the cause of our circumstances, but He is with us in the dumpster, reminding us that we have inherent value, intrinsic value, just because He made us. I hope you go home with that gift, because that's a gift from God this morning. So, we are amazingly designed. We're loved fiercely. And we are created intentionally to love and serve our Creator. I may have mentioned this before, but I don't know what your morning routine is. If you look in the mirror or not, probably. I know a young man who is quite particular about his appearance. Definitely not me, but a young man that I know. On his way out of the house, he would go by about 3 different mirrors just to check different aspects of his appearance. And he looked great, right? When you look in the mirror, I'm not sure what you see. But when God looks at you, when he looks at us, he sees a masterpiece. A masterpiece. It's like going to the art gallery just a few blocks away, and all the important stuff is given the most prominent view, right? And what's interesting about the Winnipeg Art Gallery, the WAG, is every once in a while they get touring exhibits from all over the place, and everybody flocks in to see, wow. And it's fun to go and ooh and ah at the amazing artwork that they bring in. The Bible says that we are God's masterpiece. Not an oops, not a second, not a, well, could have worked harder on that one, you know, thanks for trying, but A for effort and D for accomplishment. No, we are God's masterpiece. And he has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so we can do the good things that he planned for us long ago. So God has created us and hardwired us as well. He's got things designed before we were even conceived. God had opportunities for us to serve him. And why? What's the big picture? The big picture in life is that creation has rebelled against God and wanted to do its own thing. Sorry, more specifically, humanity has rebelled against God. And as a result, creation is broken. Jesus comes back to reclaim his kingdom, and we are part of this rebel movement, winning back, living out God's kingdom. Now, the kingdom of God is with us. It's here. It's a little bit under the radar, but it's here. Emily, the kingdom of God goes with you when you go to class at University of Winnipeg. Isn't that cool? That is so inspiring. Because I look across Portage Avenue and I pray for that place and pray for that that whole establishment. But I know that God is taking back the University of Winnipeg just through his people being there. And Bobby, when you go to Red River College on Notre Dame, he's doing the same thing with that institution, right? He's doing that. And whatever business you work at, whatever school, whatever neighborhood, God is taking that back just through the presence of his people. So we're part of a bigger picture, right? God is using his people, the church, to demonstrate to the powers in the cosmos, my plan for creation is going to win. Don't have time to go into it today, but read Ephesians chapter 3, the chapter that comes after this verse, and you'll get the big picture. Through the church, God is demonstrating his plan for the cosmos. So that's the bigger picture of why we exist, okay? We're designed amazingly, we're loved fiercely, and we're created intentionally to love and serve. And God has all these opportunities for us, just ready and waiting to opening up for us. And I think it's good for us to get up every day and saying, okay, God, what are you and me going to do today? What have you got for me laid out? I mean, I know that I got to go to work. I got to get the kids off to school. I know I've got to go to class. I've got all these things. But in the midst of my everyday life, you've got appointments for me. You've got opportunities laid out for me to do your will and help expand and extend your kingdom. So that's his general plan for us. But more specifically, where do I fit in as an individual to all this? Because it's all good to keep it on a theoretical level and the big picture level, but what about me? Where does it fit? There was a Saint Irenaeus around 200 AD. He said this, had this great saying. He says, the glory of God is a human person fully alive. Originally, I think he said, the glory of God is a man fully alive. I'm just kind of expanding it to fit all of us. But the glory of God is a human person fully alive. alive, fully engaged. They know where they've come from, why they're here, where they're going. They know that, and they're living in community with God, and they are alive. You just know that. They know their purpose. But how do I figure that out? There's so much in society that's going to beat us down and discourage us and label us and tell us what our true value is. We get our true value from the Creator, right? From God's favor shining on us like a loving parent. I sure hope you take that image home. You know, if you can, don't snoop or stalk, but if you can observe some of the parents of newborns here, don't go up and scare the kid. You know, that's not appropriate. But just observe them holding a baby and smiling at that child. That's how God feels about you, okay? You don't take anything else. But I want to give you something else, some homework to do that I think will help us discover our raison d'etre, what God has got us here for. God wants us to know who we are as individuals, and that depends on how He has wired us. Everyone has unique passions and spiritual gifts and natural abilities, and that beautiful mix is all wired together. And the glory of God is a human person who's fully alive and with Him. That means finding our vocation. Now, when I say the word vocation, I don't mean profession. My high school's full name was the Owen Sound Collegiate and Vocational Institute. And that means you could either go to school and do the academic stream, or you could do a trade and hopefully you'd be a contributing member of society when you graduated. The book is still out on me. But anyway, that was OSCVI, a vocation. But the true meaning of the word vocation, the root word is, I think in a Latin it would sound something like voce. It has to do with your voice, God's voice inside of us, who we are really designed to be. Vocation is not a goal to be achieved, but a gift to be received. And discovering your vocation doesn't mean scrambling towards some prize just beyond your reach, but it means accepting the treasure of your true self. God's put His voice inside you already. It's accepting the treasure of true self I already possess. Vocation does not come from some voice out there calling me to become something I'm not. It comes from a voice in here calling me to be the person I was born to be, to fulfill the original selfhood given to me at birth by God. It's the birthright of self. That comes from Parker Palmer. So intrinsically in me, God has placed my identity and saying, Rick, just be who you are. Don't worry about impressing other people. Just be who you are. And so often society tells us to be this or that or this or that. And we look at a little baby and say, oh, this baby's going to be, could be that or that or that. Actually, we should look at the child and say, this baby is this. This child is who God wants this child to be. Now this may sound a little bit obscure, but let me drive it home and give you a practical exercise, something to think about. Actually, I'm going to give you an invitation to do some homework this week. What you'll need to do is pull out the comment card in front of you. Don't worry, you're not going to write a love note to me, unless you really feel that. That's fine. But grab a pen and grab the card, and here's the question that you're going to answer. What gave me the most life today? You can do this. Go ahead. Go ahead and fill it out. I'm just coaxing you. I'm inviting you. Just write on your comment card, what gave me the most life today? What gave me the most life? Conversely, what drained me the most today? So you take this home as homework. Think, what gave me the most life today? Conversely, what drained me the most today? And then we can ask God, have a conversation with God about it. in the evening and saying, what was it about each event that either gave me life or took life away from me? This isn't just a one-time thing, but this is a pattern, a habit we can get into. Just kind of examining life and seeing what God has been up to. In the morning, many people have a good habit of they try to start the day with God. They read and they pray, and that's good. That's a good habit. It's also a good habit at the end of the day, if you've got the opportunity, just make the opportunity to think, okay, let's look over the day and ask yourself, what gave me the most life today? What drained me the most? And what was it about each event that either gave me life or took life away? If you have a trusted friend, you can do that with each other. Talk to them, text them, call them, email, just check in, just even for a few minutes before you go to bed. And look for patterns over time to see how God has created you and how He is present in your life. Because we've been talking this morning about the big picture, the grand raison d'etre for the human race, but how do we fit into that? How has He hardwired me in my identity with my unique personality, gifts, and passions that I know when I'm doing things that just make it right? This is why I'm here. I don't know if you ever have some of those moments. I pray that you do occasionally, where we go through the routine of life and all our responsibilities and challenges and things like that. But every once in a while, there's a little light bulb goes on saying, wow, that was awesome. Maybe that's why I'm here. So we have to pay attention to that and lean into that. That may or may not be the way we earn our living. Okay? There are many people who don't necessarily, their calling isn't necessarily connected to what they do professionally to earn the grocery money. It might be. It's great when it does, but it doesn't necessarily do that. It's all about your identity, who you are and who God has called me to be. But I encourage you over the next week to do this homework and ask yourself, what gave me the most life today? What drained me the most? What was it about each event that either gave me life or took life away from me? And look for the patterns over the time to see how God has created you and see how He's present in your life. And I would love to hear your feedback about this, because I'm going to do it too. I promise, okay? And you can ask me next week. So, Rick, how was your... Oh, you all have permission to ask me if I did my homework. And we don't have a dog, so I can't blame it on the dog eating it. All right? The reason I want us to do this is because I've given you the big picture of why we're here, but I want us to live life alive with God and to know His good pleasure and to know that He values us, that He's with us, and that He has a purpose for us. There are things that He's got lined up for us to do, and it's not a task list. It's not kind of like cleaning the house where you have to kind of grit your teeth and do it. I mean, maybe you like housework. If you do, 247 Belvedere is where I live. But it's not a grit your teeth to-do list. It's like, hey, this is why I made you, and I'm just waiting for you to have a conversation with this person. I'm just waiting for you to fix this car, volunteer to fix this vehicle, or someone who's really stuck and needs help. I'm just waiting for you to come alongside and encourage a teenager who's struggling in life. I'm just waiting for you to sit with an older person who feels abandoned and like they have no value. All these things, these opportunities, God has got us uniquely hardwired to do. And He's inviting us. Not commanding or demanding, but He's inviting us into life with Him. So if we pay attention to these things through the week, I really think He's going to show us, truly show us our raison d'etre. Wow. And then we'll be woven into this community of folks who know why we're here and where we're going and what He's called us to. Man, there'll be no stopping us then with God's power working through us. Now, friends, may the face of the Creator shine on you, bless you, and bring you peace. And may he speak to us all this week to show us our true raison d'etre, which only comes from him. Go in peace, and may you just soak in the joy of God that he gives you this week. Amen.